Well, welcome Hope Grown Faith to our very first Monday Mentor video. I'm so excited here to have Lisa Apello with me today. I met Lisa through some online writing groups that we're in, and she is just very encouraging and has a really great message. So I wanted to share her with you today. I think it's kind of like the meeting of friends.
Yeah.
I'm introducing you to Lisa and Lisa to you. All right, so I'm going to let Lisa take it away. So tell us a little bit about you and your family.
Okay. I am a single mom now. Never, ever in a million years would have thought that would, you know, that I would be a single mom. But I've been a single mom for 8 years. And my youngest is now 12. My oldest, I have several that have launched. I have them all the way from 12 to 26 now. Ooh. 27. It's hard to keep track when they get that old. I, you know, have been both the married mom and the single mom. And my youngest two will really only remember me as a single mom.
Wow, that's super kind of sad. Well, it is sad. Not expected, but God does amazing things in us and through us, no matter what our circumstances are.
He does.
Can you tell us a little bit about your faith? And now, did you mention that you were a homeschool mom? I mentioned it.
No, I'm a homeschooler. Yeah, we've homeschooled kind of, I would say an accident. So I have 7 children. My youngest two are still at home, actively homeschooling. I have two that are kind of college age that are pretty much at home, but as college kids will do, they're in and out. Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait,
did you lose me for a minute?
Yeah, I did. Okay, so you mentioned about your college kids and then tell me about your older kids. And you have at least one grandchild, right?
I do. I have three older kids, and then my oldest just had their second. So I have two little grandkids. Yes, we have homeschooled. We are going into our 22nd year, which I think I started when my oldest was going into second grade. And you know, I was like, we're going to take this 1 year at a time. I'm going to be a crazy lady by 4 o'clock. I told my husband that. I was like, you're going to have to rescue me in the evening because I was used to being home with my children, mm-hmm. but adding homeschooling on was a whole nother level of responsibility. And so I said, you're going to need to rescue me. I'm going to be crazy by 4 o'clock every day. And I thought, I'll take this 1 year at a time. And here we are 22 years later. They all homeschooled all the way through high school and into college. So what I found is that God absolutely gives us grace when we need it. Hmm. And, you know, here I thought I was insufficient for homeschooling. That's for sure. But he met us in it.
That's really cool. So how did you keep your faith and kind of how did you keep that fire burning during either the early years when your kids were all at home and you had 7 kids? Like, that's a lot.
Yeah.
I'm assuming, you know, by most standards in the world, that's quite a few and quite a lot of busyness, right? And then you're adding homeschooling onto that. How did you continue to keep your love for Jesus going during those years?
I think my own personal time with the Lord, and it is surely hard. I can remember when I felt like people would talk about morning time, you know, quiet times. And I thought, I don't have a morning. I am 24 hours. I'm up with infants. I'm up with babies that are, you know, toddlers that have crawled into my bed at night. This one woke up with nightmares, and this one's sick through the night. And who has, like, there is no morning. It just, everything goes, you know, the night goes into the morning, and we just keep going 24/7. But I did tell myself this in those early years. And that is, I won't read anything else until I read God's Word. And I knew I was going to read something. Now, in those days, we didn't have phones with, you know, everything, you know, things were not online like they are now. But that's still something I try to do now. Like, I won't go online. I won't pick up a book. I won't read the mail. I won't read a magazine. I won't read anything else. I know I'm going to read today. So I know I'm going to have time to read. And that, let that first thing be the Word of God. And, you know, I didn't grow up in a home that modeled this. My parents took us to church, but there was no discipling children at home. We said the blessing around the table, and when we were little, my parents would kind of kneel with us by the bedside and say bedtime prayers. But most of my growing up was very separated, where we went to church on Sunday, and then we came home and lived our life during the week. And so as a new mom with children trying to disciple them and trying to find rhythms for us to bring God naturally into the home, it was all new to me. This was not something that I had seen growing up.
Right. You know what? I'm not sure I really did either. I think my parents did very similar, just, you know, prayers at mealtimes and then the occasional prayer at bedtime. And they were always just the rote prayers. And then they took me to church. Mm-hmm. So,
right.
Yeah. It's a,
which I'm grateful for.
So what inspires you to want to do that with your kids?
I wanted them to have what I didn't. I realized when I was in college, my husband had grown up in a missionary family. And his family had been very intentional about discipling. His dad would read the Bible every night, no matter who was there. When they had guests, no matter who they had, he would open up the Bible in his thick Dutch accent and he would read it. They also would memorize scripture. And I can remember them going and saying, okay, tonight we're going to go around and say our favorite scripture. And like, I didn't have one.
Yeah.
I was like, maybe a little bit, new Psalm 23, and I would be a little bit embarrassed. And they would be very gracious to kind of, you know, help me along. But I realized there was another way. And I wanted my kids to know the word. And I wanted them to, it was really just a natural outgrowth of where I was with the Lord. I mean, I could not speak of the Lord. He was overflowing in my life. It was a natural part of what I was doing. And so it was very natural to talk about him in the home, but also to intentionally put some things in place to help my kids know the word and know scripture.
So what are some of those intentional things that you put into place?
We, and like I said, I was an accidental homeschooler. This was also accidental. Because like I said, I really didn't know what I didn't know. And when I started homeschooling, I remember there was a big movement. There's a big classical movement, and they were all about memorization. And it was just beginning to be popular. And the teaching was that children are sponges and they can absorb everything. And so you should teach them, you should help them memorize their historical facts and just all kind of, you know, Gettysburg Address and all of these things and poems. And I thought to myself, you know, if we're going to memorize anything, we're going to memorize scripture. And so that's what we started with. And I just started with, I think I started with Psalm 23. I think that was the first one. And I didn't want to do just like a verse here and there. I wanted it in context. And so we memorized all of Psalm 23. And then we went on to John 15. And it would take us a while. It would take us months to learn this. You know, but every morning we would sit down during the week, weekdays, mm-hmm. and we would generally have it. And listen, I had infants and toddlers, and so it was as much training time as it was scripture memory time.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times, you know, I was training them to sit still or to listen or figuring out myself how to keep this one, you know, give them a snack during this time or let them play quietly on this blanket while we're doing this. But it became a time where, and that's okay. Like moms, if you have to stop the Bible lesson or scripture to train your children, that is the Bible lesson. That is what God wants you to do that day. And it's okay to stop what you're doing and to turn your attention to that. And I know we get frustrated, but to realize that is the lesson for the day that God has for us as moms and also for our children. And it will bear fruit. If we will do that all along, you know, continue to do that. And listen, even as teens, I have to say, y'all quit cutting up, or y'all focus, or are you listening? You know, so fast forward, man. I'll come back to another thing that we did, but fast forward. Now some of my big kids come home and it is so fun for them to like substitute teach for me and to come in and teach Bible. And I get to hear what they're doing, and sometimes they'll kind of mock me and use some of the phrases I've used, I mean, in a fun way. Sometimes they'll legitimately teach it. I'll say, this is the chapter we're on, and they'll teach it.
Wow.
And so that's been neat to go full circle and see them do that. So one scripture memory was a huge thing. And we memorized chunks because I found that it's easier to learn all of John 15 than it is to learn John 15, 13. Which, you know, pull them out.
That's a really good point.
So, yes, it was. And then for me, I just never realized the dividends that I would have. I wanted my kids to have it, but it's, I cannot even tell you the blessing it's been for me. And when we would be sitting in a sermon and the preacher would quote one of our verses, my kids would turn to me when they were little and say, that's our verse. That's our verse. And I was like, yes. So that was something that we did. And then the second thing we did was we just started with Genesis 1. And I just started teaching through the Bible. Now, we did mostly the historical with young kids. Mm-hmm. We didn't do a lot of theology like Romans. Yeah. But we did like Genesis. Exodus is so exciting for young kids.
Yes.
Numbers, when they're in the desert. Then you get to Acts, you know, all of the Joshua. I mean, all of those books. There's so much happening. Mm-hmm. And for me, I would just say it's hot off the press. Like, we're going to open this together, and we're going to read it, and we're going to see what God is teaching us. And God will teach you as the mom. There's a couple questions we can apply, but God will teach you as a mom, and you will see something in there, just one takeaway for you to give your kids that day.
Hmm. Well, that's really encouraging, because we often feel like we need a devotional book or somebody else doing the teaching for us. But you're right. God does show us what needs to be taught.
He does.
Right? We know
our devotionals are good. We've used those. But I also just liked it to be the Word and us, you
and
know?
It's kind of nice to just keep things in context, like you mentioned. Like with a devotional book, you're kind of popping all around. So maybe that's good for a different time of day or to incorporate it at different seasons. But
yeah,
I do like that.
The other thing is we wonder how to teach our kids about hard issues. Hmm. Hard issues. Listen, it's all in Genesis. It's all
yes.
there. Yeah. And your kids may not be old enough for that lesson yet, but you've read it, and it's in God's Word, and you may be able to address it at that point. You may need to skip on and teach something else, but at an appropriate point, if you're continuing, you know, as they're growing up, you're continuing in the Word, just reading through the Word, God brings all those issues that we are dealing with today, they're all in the Word. And so it comes up very naturally and very organically for us. We don't have to, like, find a time to, you know, address this issue or that issue.
Because it's already there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I know that we're going to have some other guests on that are not homeschooling moms, but do you have any words or tips or thoughts about how you would do this if you weren't homeschooling? Sorry, I just kind of threw that at you.
Yes, I know. I do think homeschooling gives you a slight advantage in that the kids are home and your schedule is yours. Now, I will say, the enemy is always going to try to interrupt that time. And it became just an inside joke that every time we sat down to do Bible time, the phone would ring.
Oh.
You know? And it was like just constant, just like every day, you know, interruptions. But I think if I wasn't homeschooling, I would use the time driving my children to school, or I would use the time over breakfast. I would know that they're going to sit down for 10 or 15 minutes and eat a bowl of cereal or eat, you know, a bagel or whatever they're going to have. And I would either have something on audio, like if I was really busy that morning getting ready for work and packing lunches and getting other kids ready, I would just have something on audio playing. Or I would use the time in the car and I would just use that time to pray with them. Maybe have a verse that you're memorizing. You could do that in the car so easily. And that would make, that's such good car time.
That's really.
I mean, you can use the evenings too. For us, the evenings were difficult to be consistent.
Yeah, I find that too. Yeah, I did find that breakfast was a really good time for our family for the last 2 years. So good tips. So is there anything, like looking back, that you've noticed that really made an impact? Like you did mention about the scripture memorization, how that's made a big impact on your kids. Is there anything else that you found your kids have really, it's really affected their current faith?
I think just walking them through, you know, kids are going to go through friend issues. They're going to go through disappointments. They're going to go through struggles. They're going to be exposed to things that we really don't want them to be, but there it is. And so I think just naturally talking to them as those come up and helping them have a biblical worldview, like help them to sift all that from the lens of what God is doing in their life, what God is doing in the world, how we should be responding as believers. You know, one thing that I wanted to be sure to say is it was easy for me, especially as a young mom, to look at others and say, you know, if I had their kids, man, if I had their kids, we could do so much good Bible. Or if I had their husband, we would be so on this. Or if I was had that temperament as a mom, if I was that kind of mom, you know, we can name all the things, but there are no perfect kids. And there are no perfect husbands, and there are no perfect moms or circumstances. We just have to start. We just start with where we are and admitting that we're imperfect when we blow it in Bible, like when we raise our voice.
Yeah.
I had the funniest story of a friend of mine who was teaching through Proverbs with her kids, and they're all six kids. They're all cutting up, and she's usually pretty good, but she lit into them. And I think the verse was something about anger. You know, she turned to the problem. She's like, let's go. She turned to her. It was something about anger. And they just had to laugh. And it's such a real moment. I mean, we can either try to mask that and act like it didn't happen and act like we're perfect. Or we can just say, you know what? Wow. See why mom needs the word?
Yeah.
Do you see why I need Jesus? I am so imperfect. And I pray that you forgive me. But I pray that next year you see more Jesus in me than you see this year. Mm. And then in 5 years you see more Jesus in me than this year. Because God is always working on me. I think being honest with our kids about where we are in our faith and where we struggle and just asking their forgiveness goes a long way to showing them that this is real. This isn't just pie in the sky stuff that we are talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, so just like living it ourselves.
Yeah.
Makes a huge difference. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you want to talk a little bit about how the loss of your husband impacted your faith and your family's faith? You don't have to.
Absolutely.
But if you want to.
Yeah. So 8 years ago, life was sailing along, just a typical busy summer here in Florida. And I had a 4-year-old, 6-year-old, 12-year-old, 14-year-old, 16-year-old. 17-year-old and just launched 19-year-old.
Wow.
And we woke up. It was actually Father's Day's weekend, and I woke up, and in the early morning hours and heard my husband breathing funny, and I honestly thought he was just having a nightmare, so I kind of nudged him still in my sleep and woke up a little more and realized this was not nightmare breathing or not that kind of nightmare. And I flipped on the overhead light, and I could see that something was terribly wrong. And we began CPR right there. We got 911. The firemen are right outside our neighborhood. So they were here quickly. They were working on him, took him to the hospital, but they were never able to revive him. And so I came home that day and to 7 kids to tell them, like, their dad would not be coming home. And God was so present with us and so present with me to have words to say to them that were not my own. I know it was because people were praying for us, and God was using those prayers to give me insight for my children. But one of the things that I remember at that time was I felt like all those years opening up the Bible every day, every normal, ordinary day when they were misbehaving or I had a mile-long to-do list that I really wanted to get to, but I just pushed through that, and we opened up the Word, memorized Scripture. I felt like we were building a bank. Like every day we were putting a deposit in a faith bank. Now, I didn't know it then. But when life fell apart for us, we were making emergency withdrawals on that bank. And I was so grateful for a scripture that we had memorized that was coming back to me. and for all those years of God showing us over and over in His Word that He is faithful and how He deals with men and how He loves us and His goodness. And so that was a huge thing. It's just knowing that you may never have a day like that. I pray nobody here has a day like that where you have an emergency withdrawal, but we're all going to find that we have times that we need to make withdrawals from that faith bank, or your children do at some point in their adult life. And so know that that word, Isaiah 55, says that God's word will not return empty, but it will accomplish what He desires and achieve the purposes for which He sent it. And I feel like that's what He did. I remember telling my kids too, here I'm sitting with a 4-year-old and 6-year-old, and I said, this is not normal. And I, for some reason, felt like I needed to tell them that, like, this doesn't normally happen in childhood.
Yeah.
But also, you have an opportunity to see God in ways that most kids never do. Because here we are, we were utterly dependent on Him. I mean, I was a stay-at-home mom. We were a single-income family, 7 children. I mean, just you name it, I cannot tell you the ways that we were utterly dependent on God. And so I said, I would never want my kids to have to walk that grief. But I also knew that God could use even that in an amazing way for them to show Him that all that scripture we've memorized was in fact true. And that He is faithful. And I could tell you story after story where He's been so faithful to us.
Oh, I just really love that idea of just slowly putting in these deposits into the bank. Faith bank. And that's just what we're doing. You can't see it growing often. But
No, you wonder if it is growing.
Yeah. Yes.
But God promises us it will not return void. Mm-hmm. And so we just, as moms, we keep doing what I didn't give my kids an option. So it wasn't like, when do you feel like it? Y'all just come over here and we'll do Bibles. Because, just like I want them to eat healthy and I want them to have a good bedtime, it was part of what I felt like was being, a wise parent to raise them up with this. And then when they're an adult, they have to choose for themselves.
Yeah, so do you have any, particular advice for a mom who wants to share Christ with her kids but just struggling to make it happen?
I would say pray about it. Pray and let God teach you about your child. Because I cannot tell you many times where I wanted, the answer. But God knows us as moms, and He knows our children better than any book or any person ever could. And so God Himself will give you insight. And you'll know it came from Him. So I would say, number one, pray about it. But two, I would say just use those natural moments. When you yourself are going through a struggle, talk about how you're praying through something. We don't have to burden our kids with all the adult issues, for sure. But, mommy's sad today, and I'm praying through something. And or when you see your children dealing with difficult emotions, praying with them through that, and just, it's not a one-and-done thing. It's a lifestyle.
Yeah.
And so, it goes right back to where we were at the beginning, Christy, which is having that personal devotional time and guarding that and letting God, taking that time, whether it's 3:00 in the afternoon or all the kids are in bed at night or listening to it on your podcast when you're on the treadmill, but having your own personal quiet time, because this is for sure, we cannot pour out what God is not pouring in. And we were designed for both. We were designed for God to pour into us and then for us to pour out. And right now, most of that goes out to our children as moms.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that is great advice. And I've discovered over the last few years, probably over the last 10 years of being parent, that a personal quiet time doesn't necessarily look like I thought it did, when I was 20.
Yeah.
It changed a lot when I first had my baby. I thought, I just kept falling asleep. Every time I opened the Bible, I would fall asleep because I was just so tired all the time. So at first I thought, am I even going to be a Christian anymore? How's this going to work out? But then God you're right. He just kept showing me. He pointed me to podcasts. He showed me audio Bibles that I could do while I was washing the dishes. He gave me time. And now He's teaching me how to model it for my kids too. So this morning I was sitting at the table because it's summer, so this is when my kids are home. And so I always have struggled in the summer in past years to just keep my routines going. So this year I thought, you know what, I'm just going to, my kids can be walking around while I'm reading the Bible. That's not a problem. So I did that this morning, and then my little guy said, he just kind of climbed on my lap, and he's like, can you read that out loud? And it just happened to be that I was reading the story of Daniel in the lion's den. So that worked out pretty good. So we got to read that together and have a, you know, and the two older ones were kind of yakking in the background. And I wasn't intending to read it to them, but eventually they kind of quieted down and listened to the end too.
Yes.
It was fun.
The beauty is we have 18 years.
Yeah.
We don't have to get it all done one day.
Oh, yeah.
Just that drip, 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 right?
Mm-hmm. And there's another great
thing today, I pulled something out from a folder, is organizing some stuff, and it was a habit that Billy Graham had in his own personal devotions. And he would open up to a scripture, that whatever the scripture was that morning. I don't know if he was reading three, but whatever the scripture was, he would open his Bible and then he would leave it out on his desk. And then all day he would kind of go past that. He would see it. It would kind of remind him. He could think about it throughout the day. And I thought, what a great practice. Because I tend to do my Bible time and then close it up and then
forget.
Go on throughout my day. But I thought, what? I wonder how my day would be different. And I wonder what God would continue to unpack for me if I just left that out in my room. And can you?
Sorry. Yeah. My father-in-law, I had no idea he was dropping by, and he just popped in. That's fine. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry to interrupt you.
That's okay. No worries. I sent out fishing, and I told my daughter, I said, you're the guard. When he comes home from fishing, like, no kid, no boys in the house.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, I guess we're going to wrap up then. So thanks so much for your time, Lisa. This has been really wonderful. And, I'm going to link to your blog. Is there anything else that you'd like to link to? Aside from your website?
No, they can find me on Instagram at Lisa Appelo, APPELO, and where I share more personally, but my website is great.
Okay. All right. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Christy. Bye. Good to be with y'all today.
Yeah, bye.